Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 through 11. We have, for about 4 months now, been discussing Jacob and his generation in depth. This week, we finally move on to the next generation. Jacob's son Joseph will now take the center stage, and spoiler alert, Joseph's life will be a difficult one, in which he will suffer tragedy upon tragedy. Ultimately, things will work out for him, though. Today, we will be discussing the impetus for those tragedies, and specifically, we will focus on the fact that Joseph is, perhaps, too good for his brothers. So then, on to the passage. In verse 2 of chapter 37, we find that Joseph is 17 years old. You know, of course, that on any occasion that we get someone's age, I'm going to start talking about what year it was. In this case, things start to get a little fuzzy. While we do have some precise dates for the life of Jacob, no date is given for the birth of Joseph. We have a broad range in which we know that Joseph was born between the years of 2148 and 2168. Those are the dates at which Joseph fled from Esau to Haran, and then fled Haran respectively. Since Joseph was born in Haran, he was born between those two dates. Now, seeing that Jacob did not marry for 7 years, at least, after he left Canaan, and that Joseph was born after several of his brothers, we're estimating that he was born in about 2162. If that's the case, and Joseph is now 17 years old, then the year is 2179. Now Joseph, we find, is working in the fields with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah. Specifically, those brothers are Dan, Asher, Gad, and Naphtali. Joseph is the youngest in that group, and verse 2 tells us that Joseph brought a bad report about his brothers to his father. Now we might take this in one of a few ways. Perhaps Joseph is a tattletale. He might be pointlessly accusing his brothers just to get them in trouble. Knowing, however, that Joseph will be cast in a highly moral light throughout his story, while his brothers are cast in a decidedly immoral light, we are left to presume that Dan, Asher, Gad, and Naphtali are doing something in the fields that they genuinely ought not to have been doing, and that Joseph made an honest report about their activities to his father. Now, what specifically one might do out in the field to garner a bad report, we don't know. But in any case, the result is the same. Joseph is daddy's little golden boy, and his brothers don't like him because he snitches. Now, Joseph's situation forces me to agree with something that Benjamin Franklin is reputed to have said, and that quote is, "Setting too good an example is a kind of slander seldom forgiven." I believe we see that here, in that Joseph is doing what his father would have him to do. He is setting an example so good that it makes his brothers look bad, and his brothers hold it against him. Unfortunately, doing good often puts us in the same situation as Joseph, and we will see it throughout Scripture from the prophets, the apostles, and the Lord himself. Often, those who do good are the most reviled. Jesus said this on the topic in John 3:19-21. He said, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." as believers, we let our light shine. But letting our light shine is and has always been a dangerous thing. In fact, I would argue that being hated by the world is one of the best signs that you have a true faith. It is rare that a good man is loved, particularly in his own town. But if you truly do good, then the worst criminal will be treated better than you. So when you look around you and see men who are loved and respected by the world, be cautious of those men. They have been willing to make compromises so that the world will love them. And the next time you see a man who is hated by everyone, ask yourself whether he has truly done something to deserve it. You may very well find that he is the kind of person you should emulate. That, of course, is unpleasant news for anyone. We all want to be respected. We all want to be adored. We all want to be popular and to have friends in high places. You are probably thinking that you would prefer not to live the life of an outcast, but I will remind you that the believer's way is a way of sacrifice. Jesus Christ was willing to give up his life for you, and if you're going to follow him, you must be willing to do likewise. Jesus wasn't joking when he said that his followers will have to take up their crosses to follow him. Then again, if you know that your salvation is secure, you know that there is nothing to sacrifice in this life, really, because everything that you have is worth nothing compared to what you will receive. It is not only Joseph's upstanding character and willingness to tattle that give him trouble, however. We read in verses 3 and 4 that his brothers hate him also because of his father's favoritism. Now this is another of Jacob's character flaws. He always displays favoritism for Rachel's sons over anyone else, and having been the younger son himself, he consistently favors the younger sons over the older. It is my opinion that displaying this kind of irrational favoritism to one's children will only give them cause to hate each other, and is a very bad idea. In this case, Joseph's brothers hate him with such severity that they won't even engage in polite conversation with him. They did this, of course, in response to Joseph's receipt of an ornate, colorful coat from his father, a gift which none of the other brothers received. Now, as if Joseph was not hated enough, he makes matters much worse for himself by telling his brothers about his dreams. Dreams which put him over them. In Joseph's first dream, he and his brothers are represented by sheaves of grain, and the brothers' sheaves are all bowing down to Joseph's sheaf. Now, the dream, we know, is from God, and it accurately predicts the future for Joseph and his brothers. It was not wrong for Joseph to tell the dream to his brothers. In fact, it was good that he did, because had he not disclosed the dream, there would have been no way for them to later confirm that God had foreordained these things. But, for good or bad, Joseph only made himself more hated by telling his brothers the dream. Joseph also had another dream, in which even his parents bow down to him. This time the sun, representing his father, the moon, representing his mother, and 11 stars, representing his brothers, all bow down to Joseph in the dream. Upon being told of it, everyone immediately understands the meaning. The brothers become all the more angry, and Jacob rebukes Joseph. Jacob, though, has enough wisdom to keep the matter in mind and consider it. Now, concerning this dream, there is one other interesting point to make. Here in the dream, we see Jacob and his sons, the people of Israel, represented by a sun, a moon, and a star for each brother. In Revelation 12:1, we will see the same symbols used again. There, we find a woman clothed with the sun, standing on the moon, and wearing a crown of 12 stars. Now, obviously, we aren't to Revelation yet. It's on the complete other side of the book. But file that little piece of information away in your mind. Perhaps I will have an opportunity to preach Revelation by the time I am an old man. And when I do, you will have known in advance that the woman in Revelation 12:1 represents Israel, God's people. So then, a short message today. And in conclusion, Joseph is an example to us in his living. He is good, and so good, in fact, that evil cannot tolerate him. Perhaps we can all strive to do so well. Unfortunately, though, for Joseph, he has earned the ire of his brothers, and next week we will see him bear the consequences for it.
For those of you who might be listening to this message away from your computer and are looking for more like it, you can find us at eastjordan.church.